get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Hello, all you beautiful people. You are listening to All In with Savannah Murphy, where your authenticity is authentically you. And we are brought to you by Bashani Radio out of New York City. And they're always talking about everything. And that's why we're a match made in heaven, because at All In, so are we. I'm very excited, as I always am, about our guests that we have on tonight. I think one thing that needs to be said about our guest is that he is very authentic, and he's raw, and he's real, and he's everyday people. And that's why I think listening to his story and listening to our talk is going to motivate and inspire each and every listener. So without further ado, thank you so much, Wayne Bingham, for coming on and sharing a little bit about your life and letting the listeners get to know you a little bit.
Hello. Hello. Super nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's just me, you, and, you know, thousands of ears. No big deal.
Yeah. I'm just sitting in the office in my house all by myself, and I don't know why I'm nervous, but I am. So,
well, that's the best thing, everyone. We practice social distancing here on All In. So we do everything via Zoom. So we can be in our PJs just like you are while you're listening to this. And we can get comfy and cozy and get to know each other. So
I got my golf outfit on. I went golfing earlier. So I'm like still sitting here in a polo shirt with some nice pants on and a Under Armour shirt. I'm ready to go.
He's painting the picture for you guys. You get to know him just a little bit better. We'll post a picture of him so you'll be able to see what he looks like. So let's dive in a little bit, or a lot of bit actually, into a little bit of your story. I want to obviously let the listeners get to know you, you know, just on a basic level, kind of, you know, what's your life look like right now? You know, you can give as much information as you would like or as little as you like, but just kind of where you're at in life, what your life looks like. And then we'll kind of segue into your story and kind of how we want to let people know what you've been through and kind of get into the season that you're in right now.
Well, I'm 40 years old. I'm looking for a house right now. It's been a crazy journey over the years. I've been through a lot of things, not a lot that I'm going to get into today, but business-wise, it's been a interesting episode of ups and downs over the years. And just, you know, I started out when I was very young. I was like 12 years old. I started a little lawn business in my neighborhood with a couple of my friends, and they were done with it within a couple of weeks. And I owned a business until I was 35, where some of those people, I was still cutting their grass, you know, 23 years later. And I decided to get out of owning a landscaping and snow business because, well, I don't know, there's a lot of reasons for it, but it basically all boiled down to trying to create a work-life balance for myself. And, you know, it was just it's a tough business to be in, very cutthroat, very, you have to be very introspective type of person in order to, I don't know, do things the right way. And you have to really look at yourself on a regular basis and look at how things are really going and make serious decisions on a regular basis. And I'm not always the best at doing that.
You have to be brutally honest with yourself, right? Because you don't have accountability. It's like you and you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was too much of a perfectionist about a lot of things to bring in the things or the people that I needed, and too selfish to make the, make the sacrifices that I needed to make to move to the next level in business. And I realized how long it was going to take me to do it. Once I started taking things super serious in my early 30s, and I just knew that it was time for me to get out. So I moved on from there, and it's been another strange several years since then. Working for some huge companies, and now working for a kind of a smaller family-owned company for the past couple of years. So, business journey, the whole journey in business has just been, it's been strange, and it's hard to look back at things and not have regrets, and not be kind of mad at myself about certain things that I did over the years and things that I passed up and didn't take as serious as what I should have. So,
I think that's part of the journey. I think that's what makes it, such a powerful story that I know so many people can relate with, about being able to sit back and kind of once you go through, like, you obviously you had this business for, was it almost like 16, 17 years?
It was an official business for 17 years, but I mean, I did things for 23 years because I was doing it from the time I was like 11, 12 years old. And then I officially closed it down in April of 2015, which was, it was a load off my shoulders big time, but it was also, there's a mixture of feeling, like a failure,
succeed to where you thought you should have.
I didn't achieve the goals that I wanted to achieve. And it's taken me years looking back now to realize that the goals that I had, I needed to go about them in a very specific kind of way. And I think that the kind of person that I am and the way that I go about doing things, I was never going to achieve those goals because it was just, they were goals set by a young person, by a teenager. And I would have had, as I'm, evolved as a person, throughout the years, there was just no way that I was ever going to achieve those goals because I held myself to way higher of a standard. And I looked at things in a manner that was just that those things were just not achievable. And so, I had to come to grips with the fact that it was just not going to, I was never going to get to where I was going to be because it wasn't what I was cut out to do. And that's just all there was to it.
Well, and I think a real takeaway, a real nugget from that is we all have something in our life that we've had to kind of have a sit down and have a hard truth conversation with ourselves about, maybe I set out for this goal or this achievement or, this stature. And maybe when I first set out for that plan, it was attainable and it was the right plan for my life, but things change, seasons change, things come and they evolve. And at some point we have to sit down and we have to look and say, okay, I'm different. My goals are different. The needs are different. The economy, the world, whatever are different. And I think that's what makes it so powerful is being able to sit down, have a hard conversation with yourself, with self-reflection and say, okay, I've done this. And now with where I want to be, I need to take different steps. And even though it hurts or even though it's hard, some things need some things always need to come to an end. You know, there's things that are meant to be, you know, a chapter. Some things are meant to be, you know, a full series of our life. And you have to come to that determination. A lot of people let things go too long before they are honest with themselves about something's ran its course. And so I commend you for being able to do that and to look at your life. And even though you still maybe look back and say, okay, I could have done this and that differently, but that doesn't show me defeat. And I don't hear that in that explanation. I don't hear anything but growth. You grew as a person. You grew as a different person. You weren't the teenager or the young man, you know, at 35 that you were when you started this business. So it just shows that, you know, we can all achieve goals and grow, but as we grow and we age, things change and they evolve and we need to learn how to be honest with ourselves. And so that seems like that's one thing that you can do is even if it takes you a little bit, you can be honest with yourself.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I don't know. I'm not, at that point in my life and in younger times in my life, I wasn't the most introspective kind of person where I was like looking at things, in that kind of way. It was always just like almost, it was like kind of survival instinct. And, you know, my parents were good to me and did a lot of things for me and helped me out and probably in ways that they shouldn't have, you know, but they were always looking out for me and trying to help me. And so was looking at a kind of a totality of the group of people that were surrounding me and that were supporting me and like, you know, that they were helping me. And, you know, at the end of the day, the things that I was doing for them were much smaller than the things that they were doing for me. And my business always kind of, it was always kind of centered around my business that it was just kind of dragging more people down than just me. And the way that it ended was we had a kind of a bad winter that year, and some guys that were working for me broke, like, there was four snowblowers that were broken and they never told me. And we get to the next snowstorm, which was just a few days after the prior one. I go out and I'm like working on stuff because I was too cheap. I wasn't hiring a mechanic. I'm working on snowblowers, checking stuff out. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, there's like four snowblowers that are totally broke down out of like 10 that we use on a regular basis. And I just came in and I just said to Christy, I'm like, dude, I am so done. I'm done with this shit. And I went back outside. I fixed them. I did what I could to get everything going for the snowstorm that night. And I worked until like 2 o'clock in the morning, I remember. And we went out. We got everything done that night. I yelled at the dudes that screwed me over, that made me have to go through all that crap. And I got up the following day after we were all done cleaning up with that snowstorm, which was a rather large snowstorm. And I said to Christy, I'm like, I'm looking for a new job, dude. I'm done. I'm selling this shit. I don't care how much debt I have left when this is over with. I'm walking, and that's all there is to it. And, you know, I hope that you support me. And she was 100% behind me. She seen how much I had, like, you know, struggled back and forth with shit over the years and dealing with it and everything. And yeah. And then, so I got lucky. We went on a vacation and we got off the plane, rented a car. We were in Florida driving across the bridge that goes like, yeah, shit. I can't remember what that freeway is, but it's like the Tampa Inland Bridge that goes way out into the bay, and like you're driving across the water for like 15, 20 miles, I'm gonna say. We're driving on there, and a couple of the jobs that I had applied for, they both called me while we were in the car, boom, while I'm on vacation. And it was just like I grew up going to church, and I am not a person that lives by anything churchy. Like, I don't, that stuff drives me crazy. That drives me crazy. I don't live by that, but I live by the fact that the things that you do, if you live your life good, the things that you involve yourself in and the good things that you do in life, they're going to come back around for you. And just out of nowhere, these two, you know, both of these companies called me and we were automatically in talks, and they weren't the greatest paying jobs in the world, but it was enough to get me out of the hole that I was in business. And just like, it pulled me up out of there, and it helped me to see things in such a, such a different way than what I had ever been able to look at anything in my whole adult life. And it's not that I was like not a smart person or anything. It's just, I don't know. It's, looking back on it, you know, other than my daughter being born, it was kind of the best thing that's ever happened to me. It was just like to get out of business and be able to clear my mind and look at things in a totally different way. And it doesn't work that way for everybody. You know, some people need to start a business to clear their mind and get away from all the, you know, morons that they have to deal with in their life. Well, for me, it was the opposite. I had to get out of business. I had to, you know, clear my mind by getting away from all that stuff. So,
well, I mean, it's part, you know, when you own a business, it's 24/7. It's, you know, everything's on your shoulders. And, you know, for you, I think you had started this business so young and you grew and changed, you know, as a young man, into a father, into all these different roles while being a business owner too. And, you know, it's very rare that I think people can do that and really, you know, fully feel the growth of each of those new changes. So, you know, I think you came, you went, you know, you bought the t-shirt, you went back, you know, bought the towel, and then decided that, you know, something had to give. And I think this was a way for you to see blessing, or, you know, positivity on this decision that you made once you were on vacation to have that opening. So you go from being a business owner to really ultimately switching gears completely and now working as a facilitator. So what is that, you know, how did that change you? Because, you know, you went from being the answer person, being the end all be all, to now having to answer to people. Even though you had customers and clients and stuff that you had to answer, but there's a little bit of change that takes. How did that feel? Was that, you know, was there a blow to your ego at all during that transitional period? Or, you know, was it hard to kind of move into that role?
Well, I got lucky because the guy that interviewed me, like the, not the initial thing, like it started with a recruiter and then I moved on to talking to this guy. His name was Matt Brewer. He is like one of the greatest people that I've ever known. Like this guy, he made a transition for me easier than I could have ever imagined, just because he was, I don't know, man. He's just like he was just a person that you just don't meet very often in your life. And I would say most people don't meet anyone like this. This guy was just awesome. And he, you know, he stroked my ego in a way, but he also understood where I was coming from. And he always had this thing that he said to me. And when I was going crazy dealing with other landscaping guys that were working for me, because what I did was just, I had these other contractors working for me. I managed other contractors working for this large scale company that I worked for. And he said to me, he said, look, Wayne, as long as you know that your heart is in the right place all the time, then you can't let yourself get caught up in the bullshit or the minutia of what these other guys are doing. You do what you can do. You do it to the best of your abilities, and they have to live their own life. You can't do that. You know, like you can't let that affect you in a negative way. And, you know, I still struggle with it because I still kind of do the same thing with the company that I work for now, but it's, you know, it's just because, I'm a perfectionist in a stupid way. And it's a obsessive compulsive thing that I just can't let it go, man. Like if people don't do things the way that I need them to do it, then it drives me crazy. And, you know, this dude was like, he was kind of a savior to me in a way, like me stepping out of business and having this dude as
like a mentor.
In a way, he was very much a mentor to me, and he made me look at things in a way that I never looked at him before. And, he was just he would get worked up about shit too. Like, he would get so mad about certain things that were going on, but he would never let it take him to a point where he was gonna, you know, threaten anything. There, it was never going to be like, oh, I'm leaving this bitch, or, oh, you know, I'm doing this. He would let it get to that point and then not say it. And to me, that taught me some stuff that I still can't do, because I talk shit all the time still, like, oh, I'm ready to leave this bitch, or I'm ready to do this, I'm ready to do that. I still can't do it. But I'm like, I think back about when I first, you know, started dealing with this guy, and he was my first real boss that I had since I was like a kid. And he never did that. And he dealt with some of the most goofy stuff and the most goofy people that you would ever, oh God, these people are so stupid. And he dealt with them with grace, and he never lost his cool. And he always just tried to say the right thing, even when those people didn't deserve it. And it's something that I've carried with me, because I just, you know, I want to do that, man. I want to be as what's the word that I'm looking for here? I want to be as
kind-hearted.
I want to be somebody, exactly. I want to be kind-hearted. I want to be somebody that when people hear my name, they say, you know what, I want to be like him. Even though I've been a dipshit in a lot of instances in my life, I want to be that way. And I know that there are some people that think of me that way, but I try every day in my life. I end up saying at some point, I don't give a shit, but I always do. I always care. I always want people to look at me in a good way. And it's a very hard thing to, you know, to get past or to manage, but I try to do it every day. I try to do the best that I can for anyone that I meet or that I know or that I have any kind of dealings with, to be like, hey, you know what? I dealt with Wayne and he did the best that he could to help me or to, you know, to be there for me or whatever the situation is. So well, that's what I took. And that dude did that for me. And it was, looking back on it, it was one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
And I think, you know, with that, you know, we're going to take a break here, but I think the big takeaway is the planting of the seeds. You know what I mean? I think that he planted a seed in you that even though maybe you're not there yet, you're still striving to be that way. And because you can recognize it, even in a day where you've walked away and said, I'm done with this shit, I can't do it anymore, you still care and you still are hearing his words kind of replay in your mind and in your heart. And that's motivation. So with that, we're going to be right back.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to All In. And we have with us Wayne Bingham. And we talked this first half of the show about seasons changing, about being a business owner at a very young age, starting a business, and the thought of a business that flourished and grew at like 11 years old, people. And then taking that through to, you know, the age of 35, and then transitioning from owning a business and this identity to now moving into working for, other businesses and other people, and kind of understanding that role and then key people that are, that came into his life that kind of, you know, motivated and inspired him where he was at and how that continues to inspire him and lead him to want to be the best version of himself personally and professionally. So Wayne, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh yeah, this is great. This is kind of some weird therapy. I don't know.
There you go, everybody. I'll tell you where you can send your checks and all your donations to the Savannah All In Therapy Fund later on in the show. But so we've kind of went full circle with, you know, obviously you owning a business, the dissolution of that business, and then going into working for other businesses within the landscaping arena and being a facilitator and working for large scale company. Now you're with a smaller kind of outfit company that's more family owned and operated. But what I want to get into while we still have some time here is, you know, we've talked in the past, because I know you on a personal level, about career path and about education. What did you do as far as education? Do you have a college degree? You know, what are your thoughts on that, right or wrong, indifferent? You know, kind of what's your thoughts on that, that takeaway?
Well, I'm a high school graduate. So I'm somebody that actually barely graduated high school because of just stupid young choices. And I had already started my business well before that. And I was making all kinds of money. I had a regular job and I was cutting like 30, 40 lawns a week, like my junior and senior year of high school. And I was playing sports and I had a girlfriend. So I had so much stuff going on that I just didn't really give a shit about school. And, you know, looking back, it probably wasn't the smartest, you know, the decision for sure. But, you know, I graduated from high school. Yay for me. But, you know, I wish that I would have went to college. You know, I wish that I would have done things differently, even just did like a trade school or something, because, you know, my daughter's only 9 years old, but I talk to her regularly. I'm like, hey, you know, I want you to do what makes you feel good. But going to college is a very important thing, whether it's just a money trap or whatever it is. It's like, you look at any good job, you know, depending on what you consider a good job, you look at any ZipRecruiter or, I'm not going to rattle off a bunch of job sites here on your podcast, Savannah.
Right, but prerequisites, because we don't get paid for them.
yeah, I know. I started thinking about that as I was rambling. But anyways, you start looking at any like job websites, anything that's, say, $80,000 plus, $70,000 plus. You know, you've heard that thing that if you make $70,000, you're never going to be happier than what you are making $70,000 a year, right? You've always heard that bullshit, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true anymore. I think they need to recalculate that.
Yeah, I want to be a millionaire. I don't give a shit about making $70,000. So anyways, you look at all these things, and every single job that you pull up says you need to, you know, not required, but preferred, right? It's like that way of throwing a slight at you, throwing shade at you, like, oh, well, you know what? We don't really need you to have it, but we'd really like for you to have it. We'll probably add a little bit to your salary if you do have a degree, you know, like that kind of shit. And you know, I've been pretty lucky to fall into a couple of good paying jobs since I own my own business and got out of that. But, dude, I mean, like, the real world experience and the level of absolute juggling act that I went through for years having my own business, I mean, it gave me a set of skills that very few people on this planet have. I mean,
well, like, you can't go to college to learn that skill set.
Yeah, I mean, you know, any college graduate, yes, they might know more about calculus than me, or they might know more about, you know, I don't know, freaking Saudi Arabia's government than me or some shit like that. But they don't know more about everyday life and what it takes to struggle and, you know, make shit happen and get, like, you know, 15 people that work for you, get them paid every week or every other week, depending on how you do it. They don't know how to do that. And I know how to do that shit. But unfortunately, there's been tons of jobs that I've applied for that I didn't, you know, that I was overqualified for that I couldn't get because of the fact that I don't have a college degree. And so, you know, the driving point to that is, what, you know, as much of a trap as we think, you know, going to college is, and as much of a, you know, as much as it, so many people think that it's just a sham, it's put in place for a reason, people. You know, if you don't have it, then, you know, you're going to be on the outside looking in. Exactly. Yeah. Just like getting a house, checking them boxes for the house that you want. And you got to check them boxes off to get the job that you want, or else, you know, you're just going to kind of have to be lucky to get into it, or you got to be really good at selling yourself. And that's just all there is to it.
Well, and I think that that's huge. I wanted to touch on that because I think, like you said, it's such a controversial topic as far as college and having a degree and, you know, is it a business? Yes. Is it kind of ridiculous how much debt people come out of school with trying to obtain these jobs at, you know, certain pay rates that maybe they wouldn't even be able to cover their, you know, their loans, their student loans. Yes. But do you want to be able to check the boxes on some of these higher paying jobs that, like you said, they're, you know, qualifications and their, you know, must haves or their requirements, you know, unfortunately can take you out of that equation if you don't have it. So I think that's just very interesting to see someone who, you know, was kind of self-made and successful and still striving and working and on the grind everyday person, you know, to be able to voice that. I think it is important for our listeners to hear. So,
well, okay. And here's the other part about it real quick though, too, is that I've been lucky enough to fall into good situations. Okay. Like my sister went to college. She has her master's degree and she's still paying off student loans. Well, she would probably be really mad at me, but she's 38 years old. She's going to be 38 years old next month. She's still paying off student loans. She has her master's degree. And, you know, like you kind of get thrown. I guarantee, I don't know what the number is. I've never looked it up, but I bet you if you look at percentages of people who you had to make this decision when you were between the ages of 18 and 22 years old of what you want to do for the rest of your life. And there's these, you know, oh, there's all these different boxes that you got to kind of put yourself into in order to decide what you're going to do for the rest of your life. I guarantee without ever even looking at something, I bet you it's less than 20% of the people that have degrees in certain things that are actually doing what they went to college for. It's just about having that piece of paper, dude. That's just all there is to it. It's right. Just that thing, you know, being able to check that box that, yep,
the classification, right? It sets you apart from, yes, it's like, it, okay, you stand in this, right? Okay, so now that we went off on that tangent, school is good, okay, people. But just do what feels right for you. I think people always have, you know, you just kind of have something inside of you as entrepreneurs. And I'm sure that, you know, you owned a business once, and even though you're currently working for someone else, I'm sure that in the future you'll own something, some kind of business or side hobby or something again, just because that's something that is in you. That's a trait. And it's a beautiful trait. And not everybody, you know, has that or has that capability of kind of looking at a picture, you know, kind of the bigger picture. And you have to be able to, especially when you're dealing with other people's lives and, you know, management role. And even bigger than that, you know, putting food on people's tables, you know, it's not just yours. It's not a grind and hustle just for you. It's other people depending on it too. So that's, and to have that, you know, for 100% for 17 years, that's a lot on someone's shoulders. So with that, did you ever, you know, struggle with any kind of stress or depression or, you know, any kind of, not, I don't want to say disability or handicap, but anything that kind of hindered you, you know, as a person to be able to function because of all this stress and because of all this, you know, that you had to carry with you for 17 years of your life?
Yeah, well, until I was probably, I'm trying to think, you know,
he's 40 after, people, give him a minute. No, I'm just joking. Just kidding. Just no, the old joke.
I remember the first time that I ever had like a real panic attack. And, you know, from that time to the time that the next, you know, batch of like shit happened to me, you know, it seemed like it, when you're young, it's kind of centered around things that like just kind of hit you out of nowhere and then kind of linger, you know. And then as you start to get older, you know, you start to worry about things, and I don't know, this, the stuff kind of comes at you in a different kind of way. So, you know, as a, like being in business and stuff like that, when it started to affect me was like after my daughter was born, and, you know, we had a house and a child and multiple vehicle payments and mower payments and insurance and all the crap that came along, and, you know, needing to make big decisions and make them in the proper way, and, you know, make them count. You know, it's one thing to make a decision, and but it's a whole nother thing to make a decision that, what's the right way to say it? It's a whole nother thing to make a decision that you make the right decision the first time. You know, like you don't have to go back and go into kind of a buffer zone of realizing, oh man, fuck that up, I gotta fix right. it, you know, and like get back and then move yourself over to the right situation, right? And so over the years, it's, I don't know, it just became kind of a I know you don't like a lot of cussing on your podcast, it became a,
well, you've broke that can
a, cl- right a open, cluster
so bleep, go ahead
right? Yeah, so it became like a it was always just try to make the right decision, you know, on a daily basis for what we were doing. And, you know, everything that we were doing was going to help us to do the right thing the next week, you know, like, and just keep that ball rolling. And I mean, I got to a point where I was doing like really, really good in business, and, you know, and then I had a run in with a big company that hired me to do a bunch of work. They declared bankruptcy and screwed me over on a very substantial amount of money. And that happened at a point in the business where I was, you know, we were growing so fast and like things were just, you know, happening, you know, very quickly. And it was, you know, it was a good time to be in business, but then it all of a sudden just ended up just being a, you know, a terrible time to be in business with the whole crash. And like between, you know, 2009 and 2011. And so everything just ended up being like a mess, to say the least, at that point.
Right, like a pressure pit of, you know, the bottom falling out time and time again.
Right. And that created, you know, a level of pressure and, you know, worry. And you know, I think that all anxiety, because I've dealt with it for years, for a long time, I think it all boils down to how you're able to deal with your stress and how much you worry about shit. When you lay your head on that pillow, how quickly can you fall asleep? Are you sitting there worrying about everything that might happen over the next week? You know, more people have heart attacks on Monday than any other day of the week. So on Sunday night, when you lay your ass down to go to sleep, how quickly do you fall asleep? You know, like, I mean, is it taking you a long time? Well, I can tell you, back then, it was taking me a long time to go to sleep. But I'm here today, so I didn't have a heart attack on those Mondays. So at least I got that.
That's good, seeing as how we're recording this on a Sunday night.
Right.
But, you know, I think that I appreciate you being honest about, you know, dealing with anxiety and worry and stress. I think it's these, you know, there's kind of like the stigma or this ugly, you know, kind of misconception with those things that kind of carry people around. And just being honest, you know, helps people relate and be like, yeah, you know, I do feel like that when I'm falling asleep at night. And, you know, maybe I need to look at some different direction or some different things that maybe I can put in place to relieve myself, to allow myself to maybe plan better and prepare better for the next week so that I can fall asleep at night. So I do appreciate that. And, you know, we're wrapping up and this has been an awesome conversation and very motivational and very honest.
Get a sleep apnea test, people. Get a sleep apnea test. I'm telling you, a CPAP can do you wonders.
Hey, again, 100%. We are not getting paid by CPAP for this.
I didn't tell you to go anywhere. CPAP is not a brand.
But, okay, so with that, let's kind of wrap this up. I want to ask you two questions, the last questions of this awesome recording, but that I ask all my guests. The one question would be, what do people get wrong about you? Like, what do people not know that you think, you know, they get wrong?
Wow. What do people get wrong about me?
Yes.
Damn. I wish you would have asked me this before we started recording this shit.
Just doesn't have the same effect.
No, it doesn't. It wouldn't. I don't think. What do people get wrong about me? I think that I can come off as I am an asshole. I'm kind of a person that can come off as being my brash and kind of in your face tactics, I guess you could say, like the way that I talk to people and the way that I like to communicate in every way can come off as me being kind of an arrogant person or like a super selfish person in a way. And, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I have. And looking back on it, you know, if I could go back and change those things, you know, that would probably be like number two in line behind that things that I was talking about earlier. And I just think that if you don't share the things that are going on in your life and you don't talk to people about what's really going on with you, if it's always about superficial bullshit and about the, you know, about the weather and about this and that and, like, you know, recent stuff, like, what do you think about wearing masks and, you know, blah, blah, blah with COVID, you know, like, I don't care about that. You know, I just want to have real conversations with people, man. And I tend to share more things than what I ever should with people that I don't even know half the time. You know, like if we're out tailgating or doing something like that and I meet somebody new that I just hit it off with, I'll tell them shit that I never should tell them. But it's because of the fact that I feel like the less afraid you are of who you are every day of your life, the easier that life can be. And that's just, you know, I don't know much easier of a way to put it than that. I don't know.
No, I think that's very powerful. I think that's huge.
But if you can just, you know, live and try to, oh my God, there's something going on with my computer. Is this you talking on my computer all of a sudden?
No, all of a sudden I can hear that too.
Did you hear that? Well, it's some kind of radio.com thing just popped up on my computer.
Oh my gracious.
Just ruined that moment.
No, but I think that that's a powerful takeaway. I think that that says, really is a beautiful segue into the last and final question before we end this. And, you know, I really think it's been great. What does being all in mean to you?
You know, I'll admit something right here on your podcast. I've never listened to one of your podcasts, Savannah, because I'm like jealous that you started doing this. And I've always wanted to do this and I never did. This is something that I've thought about doing for years. And so, you know, you asking me that question kind of throws me a little bit for a loop, but it's almost being all in. I think that is just about just trying to be who you really are, you know? No bullshit. Just not faking anything. Just I tell the truth about things all the time that get me in trouble at work, that get me in trouble in my relationship. You know, just don't bullshit, man. Just tell the truth about everything that you got going on. And life is so much easier. It's like we got enough pressure going on in our lives every day as it is with work, family, all the crap that's going on politically. And, you know, if you're a big sports fan, you put a whole nother level of pressure on yourself, you know, and you just gotta just tell the truth, man. Just be honest with yourself. Hey, you know what? I used to be a really good golfer and I am not good anymore. I shot 75 today somehow. But I haven't, you know, I've been shooting in the 90s this year. I don't know what is wrong with me, but I'm trying to figure it out. And today I pulled it out of my butt and just all of a sudden shot 75. So I don't know, man, just be honest with yourself. And that's just all you can do. That's it.
Well, thank you so much. I think that you've been real, you've been raw, you've said some things no one else has said on this show, and that is for 100% certain. But nonetheless, I appreciate it, and I know that others will appreciate it, and I know that people's lives are going to be motivated and inspired and changed because you were brave enough to come on and share some of your story, and I commend you for that, and I thank you for that. People, seasons come and seasons go and seasons change. And I think what Wayne has kind of, you know, given us a little takeaway or nugget is that no matter what, if you stay you, no matter if you change as the seasons do and you go back and forth and your life kind of ebbs and flows, no matter what, as long as you stay true to yourself, then at the end of the day, you're going to be able to fall asleep a little bit faster and you're going to be able to excel at life. So with that being said, we've been all in and now we're all out.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.